You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
I got it. Thank you, Brother Leland. We were requested several months ago to do a song that Brother Jeffrey, who preached last Saturday and did a great job up here. Brother Jeffrey, he asked us several months ago to learn this song, and we did it once and kind of horsed it up. We tried to do it again last Saturday morning, and I really loved it. And so I thought we'll just do it again tonight. It's actually not a gospel song as such. It's not a gospel song as such, but it does tell how life is, and it tells a lot about some things that an older guy can say to younger guys that might help you along the way if you learn what the lessons this song tells you. He was standing in the rubble of an old farmhouse outside of Birmingham, when an on-the-scene reporter stuck a camera in the face of that old man. He said, "Let me tell you folks back home, what are you gonna do now that this old twister taken all that's meant to you?" And the old man just smiled and said, "Boy, let me tell you something. This ain't nothing." He said, "I lost my daddy when I was 8 years old, and that cave in at the Kincaid mine left a big old hole. Lost my baby brother, my best friend in my left hand, in a no-win situation in a place called Vietnam. And last year I lost my loving wife, 50 years waste away, and I held her hand while her heart of gold stopped pumping. Let me tell you, boy, this ain't nothing." He said, "I learned at an early age, there's things that matter and there's things that just don't. So if you're waiting here for me to cry, I hate to disappoint you, boy, but I won't." Then he reached down in the rubble, picked up a photograph, wiped our dirt off with a hand that he had left. Then he kissed it and he said, "Man, she was something. But this ain't nothing." He said, "I lost my daddy, my best friend in my left hand, in a no-win situation in a place called Vietnam. And last year I held my lover's hand as her heart of gold stopped pumping." Man, he said, "This ain't nothing. Time won't erase. And this ain't nothing money can't replace." He said, "When you sit and watch your loving wife of 50 years waste away and die, and you hold her hand till her heart of gold stops pumping, man, that's something. But this ain't nothing. Nothing you're going through. Nothing you're going through is like watching your loving wife die." Thank you.
message. That's the kind we like around here. The guy, the first time I met the fellow that's going to speak tonight was at Turning Point, and he wasn't a counselor. And he stood out pretty well at Turning Point, but just because of his size, he's head taller than anybody else out there at that time. And then I didn't see him for a while, and the next time I saw him, he showed up at my parole class. And he wasn't an officer either. And then I saw him show up at church. Again and again. And this gentleman started a family, started an education, and this year, Kenneth got his Bachelor of Science degree from UTPB. He's made a real man, but he's been a fine Christian. He kept promising me, he said, when I get through with his education, these classes, because he's having to work and go to school, he said, I'll be at the rec room. And I said, yeah, right. But sure enough, he did. And so I want him to come and just tell you his testimony, whatever God's laid on his heart. Kenneth Pegues is walking the walk as well as talking the talk.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Levy. Once again, my name is Kenneth Pegues, as Leland mentioned earlier, and I want to give honor all to God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And as they said earlier, let's give Life Change Baptist Church a hand of applause for allowing us to come in here to these facilities, and let's give our musicians as well a hand of applause, because those men work, and after work they come up here and they practice hard, and they want to turn out, you know, good songs for the Lord. So, and we want to give a round of applause to the staff in the kitchen as well, so who providing the refreshments and things like that. And with that, I'll just pray just a little prayer, and then we'll get right into it, because I really feel like we need to, you know, connect tonight. So with that, we'll just with a head bowed and just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come to you, Father God, with humble hearts and bowed heads, Lord, thanking you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life, Father, on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the world, Father. For without the shedding of his precious blood, there was no and is no remission and forgiveness of sins, Father. And for that, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Father God, for looking past all our faults and seeing every one of our needs, Lord. Father God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, and the majesty, Father. And I pray, Father God, that you use this vessel of yours, Father God, that you created, Father God, to give a message, Father God, to your people, Lord, that are sitting here tonight in the sanctuary, Father. And that these words, Father God, even continue to go out into the streets of Odessa, Texas, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 We'll start with my story, just a little bit of touching it. And it's a story that we all can relate to. Growing up in the 70s in Texas City in the Houston area, dysfunctional family, you know, the mother and the father having parties at night, you know, and drinking and things like that. And when the beer was left over, you know, we would sneak in there and we would call ourselves cleaning it up. So we would actually start drinking and tapping into that, what would become later my problem. So we'll talk about that as well. But we can all relate to those family matters that for one reason or another that we tend to want to blame someone else for the things that we continue to act out. So therefore, you know, it was my own doing, or undoing, should I say. But as I said, my life and my journey with alcohol and drugs started out with just incubation period. You know, it started with experimentation, you know, wanting to see what it felt like, what it tastes like, You know, when I drink a can of beer, you know, I could dance better. You know, you looked it better. You know, I could talk to girls. You know, I could do this. I could leap mountains and walls and buildings and felt invincible. And then it turned into just recreational use. You know, I'll just do it on Saturdays and I'll just do it on Friday or Sunday, you know, and then it turned into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then until it got out of control. And I see some of you shaking your head. So that's you too, huh? Yeah. So anyway, it turned into a problem for me. And then it became, adoration to where I loved it more than I loved anything and anybody. You know, my responsibilities just went down the drain. You know, I didn't care for anybody and I sure didn't care for you. I was the type of guy who your mother warned you about. You know, you don't want to see this guy in the street. You know, the boogeyman. You don't want to see him at night. You know, and so for that, you know, I had to pay a cost for that as well, as it'll catch up to me down in the end, as you'll see. You know, that sin, you know, God cannot be mocked, for what a man reaps, he'll sow. You know, so what a man sows, he'll reap, so to speak. I said it kind of backwards, but I learned that as well, too, in Sunday school classes. So I was able to come through that period of my life, and then it turned into isolation to where I isolated myself from everyone so I could do my drugs and alcohol and call it, you know, doing me. I'm a do me, you know. So anyway, by doing me, I got myself in a lot of trouble. So that isolation eventually turned into incarceration. So then I got myself in trouble with the law. And so it started out very gradually, you know, a overnight stay, you know, and get out the next morning. Woo-wee, that ain't, like Charles said, that ain't nothing. You know, so I was able to get out. Then it turned into a week, okay? Now I'm staying a little bit longer, you know, and no one's coming to see about me anymore. And then the next thing you know, I get back out there and I still don't learn anything at all because I still wanted to do me. And I thought that I knew everything about the world and everything that it involved in. And I had always, you know, knew about God, but I had always... you know, put him on the back burner, so to speak. You know, I thought that, you know what, this is a man's world. So, you know, I got to get out there and get all I can get, when I can get it, how I can get it. And so as it turns out, you know, those 2 months turned into 6 months. And then after the 6 months, and then as you'll see, that it just gradually escalates. And a lot of you can attest to that tonight, you know, because, and then it turned into a year. And then they came to me with a get out of jail pass, you know, probation. Yeah, how many people like that? Yeah, I can get out on probation. Yeah, I can do that. I can do probation. I can do that. I can pay the fees. I could come in and take the UA test. You know, I could come in. I could go to all the meetings. Yeah, I can do that. Just let me out so I can finish doing me. And as it turns out, my escalation and of alcohol and drugs and the crime element just continued to escalate. And then I found myself in state jail. As you can see, it's steady, gradual. It graduated in state jail at the Sanchez unit. I got out and I thought, surely I learned my lesson this time, because some of my funds had got cut off from family members. Some of them had passed away. I wasn't able to go to my mother's funeral because she had passed away while I was incarcerated. And I thought, surely I learned my lesson this time. But as it turns out, I didn't. I continued to get out. I stayed clean, as you can see, some of you know, for the 2 weeks, the 3 weeks, the time that I'm under the parole guidance, that liaison officer. So I try to stay clean for that. Needless to say, I violated and messed that up as well. You know, I came to the cup that Jeffrey spoke about Saturday, brought back some memories. But I remember, but before some of that happened to me, I wanted to straighten my life up, and I ended up in Turning Point. Basically because I didn't have anywhere to go, you know, and I thought, I can do this. I can straighten myself out. They give you a 28-day program and it was free. The state paid for it. Once again, I'm a ward of the state. I'm being taken care of, and I get out and I do well for a while. And then I try the geographical relocation deal. I want to go to San Angelo. Okay. I'll do right there. I'll do good in San Angelo because there's different people there. You know, but as it turns out, you know, I kept showing up. Kenneth kept showing up, so it didn't matter where I went. So then I end up getting myself once again in trouble. So then I end up going to the TDC, which they says is a whole nother ball game, you know, because now you still get that number, you get a different number, and now that's going to stick with you from now on. It's going to carry with you. So I get out, but while I'm in there, I'm attending these church meetings, and I'm attending every time the door opened. I wanted to get out because I didn't want to be with these other 50 men that I thought that weren't trying to get their lives right, and I thought that I was right here and they were right here, and I thought at the same time, you know, I'm still a criminal just like they are, you know, as far as TDC is concerned. I'm just a number. They don't even say your name. They just give you a number and a bunk number. That's all you are to them. And for those of you who don't know, the state of Texas is getting hard on criminal activity. You know, they call it organized crime, but it ought to be misorganized because we're not very good at it. You know, we keep getting caught. So, you know, evidently something's wrong with that. And, you know, and now that I've come to find out, you know, those are not the people and the persons that we were intended to be. This is probably the cleanest point that you're ever going to be now that you're out of that environment. And now that you're getting a chance to come into society to start being more responsible. I know for me, when I first got out, I was a little afraid. But there was one thing while I was in there, too. I skipped over that because there was a guard. I got in trouble because I didn't get up to get out in time to go to the next bail that was to go to lunch. And so I wanted to beat on the window, and I was bamming it. And I could, now looking back, I could see myself like a wild animal hitting on the window, wanting to get out, and it was my own fault because I was lazy and sleeping. And he didn't let me out, and they put me in a little single solitary room, and he let me in there for like maybe almost the whole day. He just left me in there with just nothing but that little, you know, the little restroom. So while I was in there, I had some moments of reflection about my attitude. You know, I hadn't changed anything. It hadn't anything changed. I was still rebellious and resisting authority, you know, but these people had authority over me. But God was always trying. He was trying to teach me something. Looking back, everything that he had taught me and was trying to teach me was for my betterment and not my bitterment. But I was taking it the wrong way because I was in self. And all I wanted to do when that guard took me out, he said, "Have you learned anything?" And I said, "Yeah, y'all don't open the door to let the hungry man out, you know." So anyway, he was like, "Okay, well, you'll be back." That stuck with me. He said, "Well, you'll be back." And I was, so when I go back to my, "Yeah, you're right." When I go back to my cell and I get around the environment, around the gentleman again, they ask, "Well, what's going on?" And they're doing the same old thing. And when he said, "You'll be back," and I got to looking around that room, and I said, I don't want to come back, not come back here. And then I had my little pity party on my bunk, and I was thinking about it. Poor me. You know, I'm a victim in all this. When I actually, in all the time, I had volunteered for every single thing that had transpired. It was my own undoing. Somebody would say, "Let's go do this." "Oh, I'll go. Let's go do that. Yeah, let's go do so and so. I'll do that." You know, but I kept borrowing and stealing things that didn't belong to me. You know, so and now God has brought about a change in my life. You know, I've learned to accept Jesus Christ into my life, and man, it ain't been the same since. It ain't been the same since. And I want to encourage each and every one of you who are at that point right now, wondering how does this life get better. It actually does get better. And it gets better than even this right here. I'm standing here now by the grace of God and by the men and women over at the Life Change Baptist Church. I have some mentors here. I have some strong, godly men in my life. You know, Brother Charles and Leland and even the ladies here. And my pastor, I just love him to death. You know, and they decided to walk with me on this journey. You know, because you can't do this by yourself. There's no way that you can do it by yourself. And we're relationship people as it is anyway. We're connected. I don't, whatever you say, we're not even going to go color. We're connected. We're the body of Christ. We are the members of one another. The eye, the nose can't say to, "I don't need you because you're no, I don't need the mouth. I don't need it. I don't need the foot." We're all members and Jesus Christ is the head. But I want to stop and take a moment just to say that before my mother passed away, she was always so proud of me, and I didn't know, and I didn't get to go to her funeral, and some of my brothers and sisters were, and they was like, "Well, Kenneth, you were always the one that was good in school, and you were always the one who would remember people's birthdays, and you would always do things and go out of your way. You know, what happened to that guy? You know, and, you know, he had got lost, you know." And looking back now, you know, I'm a little older now, you know, and that gentleman who was 18, 19, and 20 years old, you know, I wish I could speak to him, you know, and let him know some of the things that he had been doing was wrong, you know, and he has to go back and make some amends for those things. And I've done some of that. I've done some of that, and I'm sure some of you have attempted to do that as well, because those are times of refreshing. Even me standing here tonight is a cleansing for me, and I'm honored and privileged that Mr. Maples asked me. You know, this is the most comfortable that I've been in so long that it's not even funny. It's like the chaos has stopped. You know, the merry-go-round, the fireworks, it has all stopped. God has just slowed it down. You know, in his word, he talks about, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Good. I'm glad that you remember that verse, because those words are actually applicable. The word of God is applicable in your life if you apply it. That was the one thing that I was missing. You know, I always had time to do other things other than what was meant to do. I always had an excuse not to do something. But now I look for reasons to why I should go do this once I got out of self. Because it's only two sides of the spectrum that you can be. You're either hot or you're cold. You can't be in the middle. You have to be all in, you know, and you don't try Jesus. You do Jesus. You live Jesus, because who you are in private, that's who you are. So I'm not afraid about when I go into a closed door in the room by myself, because I know that he is going to watch me do the right thing, no matter what it is. So that's who you really are. You can get out here in public and put on a face and a show, but who you are in private, that's who you really are. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we have to remember that when we go into those dark rooms and those closets and get on the internet and do this and we do that, and then we get out here and we want to say one thing else, you know, and they want to say, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You know, but you really don't want to tell it how it is. The woman, when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and by no means am I a preacher, okay? I just love the word of God, and every story in the Bible applies to my life. So I use it. And I apply it, and the Holy Spirit brings things to remembrance for me, so I don't have to worry about losing some scripture or some moment. I can always refer to the Word of God. As she touched the hem of his garment, he noticed someone had touched him, and he wants some of us to touch him now. We can get his attention. Hey, over here, get his attention. Read his Word, because when you're praying, you're actually talking to God, and when you're reading his word, he's talking to you. So I encourage you to start reading his word daily. Take time out for the things that are responsible in your life, in my life. I know it worked for me. I wouldn't be standing here. And Leland asked me, he said, would you do your I was first kind of comprehensive about doing it, but then I thought about that one person who may be in here tonight and say, you know what? I kind of want what that guy got. I kind of like the way he talks. I kind of like the way he has a freedom about himself. I kind of like the way he smiles. I kind of like the way he's standing, even though I'm tired, maybe getting off of work. But guess what? I work today, too. But here I am standing in the house of the Lord. I worked 8 hours a day, too, as well. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I've done the same things that you're doing. So we can't use that excuse anymore. I started putting God in my life gradually. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Now I don't have to go to church. Now I get to go to church. And now I get to be around people who actually love me, you know, and care about me, you know, and want to see me do well, because of the simple fact that they see that I'm trying to help myself. I don't always come around with a sad story. Oh, he's this and this. I come just a smile and ask you, how you doing, brother? How you doing? Don't worry about me, because somebody's always has just a little bit harder than what you do or what you think you got, what you're going through. But a lot of it is always the enemy in me. You have an enemy in you. There's another you trying to get out. And this is him and her sitting here tonight. I want to say that you're some of the best well-dressed looking people that I've seen. If you ever went through anything, I can't tell it. Because why? God has cleaned you up. In the book of John 15:3, he talks about it. He said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. His word will clean you up. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He will clean you up. What you have to do is what? Accept it and believe it. Accept it and believe it. The hardest things that we have doing, we'll accept man's testimony. I'm standing here tonight, y'all. Yeah, 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 yeah. But when we read God's word and what he's trying to say to us, can't really be. How can that be? He tells us in the book of Romans that these stories were written for our example, that we may have something to refer to, something to look back on, because he's the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. If he done it then, he'll do it now. God is still in the blessing business. He wants to bless you. He sits high and he looks low. He's looking for someone to be strong through. He wants you to go back into your communities, into your families, and he wants you to be that role model. He wants you to be that beacon of light. He doesn't want you going back there robbing, pillaging, and saying, this is my block. Well, if it's your block, then why is it so nasty and raggedy? Why is it so hard to walk down the street at 9, 10 o'clock at night if it's your block? But we have everything to say about someone else, but then we're not doing our part. When we think and stop, we say, there's a verse in the Bible, who will go for us? He says, here I am, send me, I'll go. Somebody ought to do something about that. Oh, look at that field. It's so dirty. Somebody ought to do something. You're that one. Okay? You're that somebody. You need to get up and do what you need to do. I need to get up and continue to do what I need to do one day at a time. But when we go back to our families, they're going to also resist the change that's come about in our lives. They're not actually going to trust you, which is hard to get because you've lost it. So you have to earn that. But we have to be patient. We have to be patient and we have to allow God time to do the things that he wants to do in each and every one of our lives. You know, I could sit here and tell you so many stories, but you know, about how the things I used to do. But I told myself I wasn't going to reflect on those war stories, because some of them was actually horror stories. You know, when the light bill didn't get paid and when the kid was hungry and I couldn't do nothing about it because I was so wrapped up and consumed with alcohol and drugs. You know, but God is what? The author and finisher of our faith. You know, so you get a chance to help him write the end of the story. Okay? He's the author and finisher. You have an opportunity here to help him write the end of the story. He's already knows the beginning and the end, but now you have a chance to be a part of it. You have a chance to be a part of your own recovery, your own, what do they call it, sobriety. You have to participate in it. You have to participate in this process that's going transforming in your life right now. There's a transforming thing going on right now that you can't even see, you can't even feel, but the wheels of motion have already been set in. Just like the wheels of motion that's been set in for the good, the wheels of motion have also been set into the bad, because Satan, he's intimidated by you now, because you have that smile, you have that glow, you have that feeling that, yeah, this may be my time, this may be the season. You know, for God to do the work in your life that he's been waiting and willing to do. God has been wanting so bad, so long, to show each and every one of us how bad and how long he's wanting to be our God. He's wanting to be our God. He's wanting to be number one, though. He's not willing to be number two. He tells us in his word, and Leland always challenged me, I need to know the addresses to these verses so you can look them up, so you can check me. But he challenged us in Sunday school to learn those verses, and God is a jealous God. Okay, Exodus 13 and 14. So there it is, 34. God is a jealous God. He will not take second place, not to your father, not to your mother, not to your brother, not to your sister, not to your wife. Our sister got married, and she even knows that she can't be number one. You know, I have to let him, because without him, there's no me. Without him, there's no me standing here. Who wants to come down here and talk to some people who could care less about even maybe some of what I'm even saying? But for the grace of God, I get to talk to you for these particular 30 minutes right here, and God wants to share with you, you know, and so you have to sit here and just listen, huh, for a change. You have to actually sit here and listen. They used to tell us in those meetings and turning points, when you come in there, sit in the seat, but sit all the way down in the seat, okay? You're not the answer to your own solutions. Neither is he or her out of a relationship the answer to that solution that you're having, that your problem that you're going through. It's Jesus Christ and him crucified. We're all to be witnesses of God, not the judge, not the jury, not the executioner. If you look in the Bible, he said we are witnesses. Paul and Peter, they say that we are witnesses. We can't help but speak the things that we have heard and learned. We're witnesses for Jesus Christ. And for that reason, I'm standing here tonight, because I have to be a witness. You know, I had an obligation. It wasn't that fact that he sprung it on me. It was like that God... He remembered what I said, that I would do his work, that I would follow him. You know, and I would do what he asked me to do. Is just that these men just encouraging me and challenging me, you know, to even go beyond and be better, you know, be better. Because one thing about it, you know, though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day through the strengthening of Jesus Christ. And we have to remember that on a daily basis. He's been so good. He's been so good to me and my family. We went from a one bedroom apartment to a 3-bedroom brick house, you know, in like 3 years, you know. And that's what God and you and a made up mind can do. I ended up going to college. I graduated from Odessa College when somebody said, oh, you can't do that. You've been to jail. You can't do that. Okay, I go to UTPB. I graduate from UTPB with honors. Oh, you can't do that. With God and a made up mind, all things are possible. With man, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. As I say again, with you and God and a made up mind, there isn't anything that you can do. You just need to have a little faith and give him time to do. You didn't get sick overnight, so you're sure not going to get well overnight. Give him time to do the things that he needs to do, because when he fixes it, is it Philemon or Philemon? Philemon. See there? I still have to go to the teacher, and he's an excellent teacher of the word. He tells us about that. Maybe he was taken away for you that you may have him back for a lifetime. He was taken away for a season. You've all been taken away from your families and your communities and some of the people that you love. But a lot of it has to do with our own doing. You know, there's a process in the Bible. He talks about the seed time and the harvest. You know, and the seed time and harvest has to do with, you know, one waters and one plants. So, you know, I've had some men around me, Pastor and Leland, they're watering, they're steady planting. They're watering, they're steady planting. And Brother Charles and Doug, they're watering, Jeffrey, they're steady watering and steady planting. I'm in fertile ground. The word is getting on fertile ground. But the thing it is, I have to be consistent. I'm looking for consistency in my life. I'm looking for something better in my life, because he said, he promises, when I use his word right at him, he tells us in the book of Isaiah 55:11, he said, my word will not return to me void. His word will not return to me void. We need to use his word right at him. Only one time in the Bible that I've come across is where he challenges us, and that's when he's talking in the book of Malachi, where he says, challenge me, prove me on this, that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. That was the only time that he had to challenge you, because God doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't owe us anything. You know, he doesn't really need us. He wants us. He loves us, but he don't need us, because he tells us in his word that if someone doesn't praise him, even the rocks will do it. Even the rocks will do it. That puts it in perspective right there. You know, so if you don't feel like praising and doing and Jesus right here, right now, is Jesus every day. Is Jesus in the morning? Is Jesus in the evening? Is Jesus at night? Is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? When you get that up inside of you, I'm going to be scared of you, because you're going to be walking in power. I'm talking about power and authority. I walk in power of authority. I look to no man. I know where my help coming from. He uses men. Okay, your blessings will be squashed down, pressed together, shaken together, and running over. As they say that I'm drinking from a saucer because my cup is overflowed. Heard Pastor Johnny them talk. So all those things come back and reflecting in my life and to those around me. I mean, even my brothers and sisters have, some of them have strayed away, some of them have gotten closer, because they see that that's not the same Kenneth that he used to be. Something's different about that man, you know. I like that boy, you know, so, you know, with Jesus Christ in my life, I'm starting to hear people say, oh, here comes Kenneth, instead of saying, oh, here come Kenneth, put your stuff up. You know, now they're happy to see me. They call me. They actually want my phone number. They actually give me keys to things now. They actually trust me. And it took me a while. And it's the easiest thing to break. It's the easiest thing to lose, is that trust. But when we learn to trust in Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about trusting, I'm talking about with everything. You know, David always inquired of the Lord. You know, any decision, you want to inquire of the Lord. I don't care if it's from buying a shirt to some shoes. You can inquire of the Lord, you know, about what it is, and he'll give you an answer. But we need to learn to give that seed time and that harvest it's a proper place. I was going to think about getting in the word for just a little bit. In Romans 1:25, there's a scripture in there. It says, well, we exchange. Here, let me read it so it'll be in its correct context, and it'll be real quick. And I won't hold you there, because some of you may think this is cruel and unusual punishment, but it's part of the sentence. Okay, you have to sit here and listen to Kenneth. It's part of it until you get out to the Word of God. It's in Romans chapter 1, and it's in 25. Who changed the Word of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever and amen. We've exchanged the Word of truth for a lie. We picked up drugs and alcohol, I did, and exchanged that for the truth, the Word of God, saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I exchanged that for His, everything that He tried to do to me, for me, He has done for me and through me in the lives of those people around me. Because why? He did an exchange. He exchanged my anxiety for His peace. He exchanged my unrighteousness for His righteousness. He exchanged my sickness for His healing. He exchanged my poverty for His prosperity. It's not a bad deal, is it? We exchanged the Word of God for a lie. You know, in a commercial, used to be on a TV a while back, it said, cocaine, the big lie. You know, you thought you could do it and win it. You say, I'm in it to win it. We thought we could do that. But alcohol and drugs are devised to do exactly what they do: kill, steal, and destroy. You know that's a form of the enemy. You can be assured of that. You know, and I got tired of paying the high cost for low living. High cost for low living. I wasn't living. I was existing. I got tired of that. Sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got to the point to where I was perturbed. You know, I was determined not to let the devil and his enemies and his cohorts have dominion over me and my life and the life of my family, because God is too good. And I just stand on His word. I stand on His word daily. If my Bible, if I didn't treasure it so much, I'd put it on the floor and just should actually show you me standing on it. I stand on His word that much, and I depend on it, on His word and on Him and the people that He placed around me. And I'm going to challenge you and encourage you to get a good support group around you. Get some strong people in your life. Don't be afraid to walk in that church house. Matter of fact, lay down and sleep and stay in there if you have to. You know, because that's the only thing that's really gonna, I'm gonna tell you right now, there's only one choice. There's only one choice. And it's gonna come to you like this. You're either gonna sober up, you're gonna get locked up, or you're gonna get covered up. It's not very many more options that you have when you continue to dibble and dabble in the things of the enemy. And I don't want to say, and I'm not bashing you. I'm just as guilty as the rest, as anyone else, you know. And I just want the best for each and every one of you, and continue to come to the rec room and learn, you know, learn to use the word of truth, you know, learn to use it because it's applicable. Use it as that sword that it talks about. You know, the sword of the spirit and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith. You learn to use the word of God and use it correctly in the word of God. Sometimes we pray things and we don't realize what we're praying for because we're praying all wrong. But I want to thank y'all tonight for sitting here listening and being a part of the rec room and what God's trying to do in your life. And for long, you, who knows, one of you be standing up here giving your testimony, you know, giving your testimony about how good God's been in your life. And with that, I want to challenge you to do well and be and prosper above all things. In Jesus' name, thank y'all. Amen. All right.
Brother Charles, if you'd come real quickly, I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Charles to sing one verse of Just As I Am in a moment. You've heard Kenneth's testimony. And maybe you're here and God is speaking to you. His Holy Spirit is convicting you. And you know that tonight is your night to trust Christ and become a Christian. And I'd be very irresponsible if I didn't give you that opportunity. Maybe you're here in somewhere in the past, you trusted Christ as your Savior. And for whatever reason, you walked away. He never walked away from you. But you walked away, and you've been a long time gone. And tonight, the Holy Spirit has said, you need to come back. You need to come home. We're going to stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. And Brother Charles is going to sing one verse of Just As I Am on the very first chord. I want you to come and say, I trust Christ is my Savior. Brother Charles.
Just as I am.
Right now. Just come on.
Without
I trust Christ is my Savior. Or Lord, I'm coming back. I've been saved, but I need you. I've failed you. Come on. Would you come? Won't keep you long, but come on. Come right on. All right. That's good. Come on. Just play. We've got some people here praying. And I promised you we'd just sing one verse. We're going to be out of here on time. But we don't want to rush God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for those that have walked down this aisle. Father, we don't know their hearts, but you do. You know our hearts. And Father, we pray that your will be done. Father, there's others that should have come. And we pray this, that before they leave tonight, they would come to Kenneth or me or Brother Johnny or Brother Doug or one of these other Christian men. And let them know that they want to be prayed with, that they want to know how to be saved. Father, we pray for that. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for Kenneth and for his testimony. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The refreshment bar is open. Thank you for being here.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.